Today's message, I'll jump right into it, is so consistent. Grace, when you were talking in the very beginning and introducing the service, and you had the congregation, or actually involuntarily, everyone was saying, "Thank you, Lord, we thank you." That fits so well with what our message is today. It's uncanny. I ribbed Laverne. I said, "Listen to her. She's doing it again." I said, "This is incredible. It's uncanny." But today's message is titled, "We Didn't Know Who You Were." We didn't know who you were. And the main idea is, thank you, Lord, for making yourself known to me. Thank you, Lord, for making yourself known to me. Thank you, Lord, for making this celebration that we just experienced more than just music to me. Thank you for causing the truths that were being expressed and sang to resonate in my spirit and cause me to worship you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for making yourself known to me. What did Pastor Dan talk about today? We didn't know who you were, but thank you, Lord, for making yourself known to me. If I can get everyone who's listening and everyone who is here, everyone listening here presently and those who are listening virtually, if I can accomplish the objective by the power and grace of the Holy Spirit to have you leave this time with an attitude that says, thank you, Lord, for making yourself known to me, it will be a success. I'm shooting for the heart. I'm asking the Lord for the heart, but I'll settle for the attitude. Thank you, Lord, for making yourself known to me. The song goes, sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, we didn't know who you were. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes were blind. We could not see. We didn't know who you were. It's an old song about an old story that's still true today. We didn't know who you were. Many of us don't know who you are today. We didn't know who you were, even though prophets prophesied. Prophets told us. We still didn't know it was you. Micah said, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over all Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And in Bethlehem he was born. Isaiah 29:18 tells us, in that day the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. 700 years before Christ, those words were written. And he healed the deaf, and he opened the eyes of the blind. But they didn't know who he was. Jesus, when he landed on earth, when he began his ministry, he appealed to the people. He said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. I am the bread of life, he said. And many walked away after he said it. In John 10, he says, why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. He said to his disciples, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. But they didn't know who he was. And then it got worse. The Apostle John wrote, for not even his brothers were believing in him. The Gospel of Mark records, his family came to take him away, for they said, he is out of his mind. It's a lonely place when your family writes you off. But they didn't know who he was, even after the resurrection, as many put their faith in Christ. Paul the Apostle recalls of himself, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. In other words, Paul would say, I didn't know who he was. And then after he had a supernatural encounter with Jesus, after Paul came to know the Lord and had tried to erase Jesus' name from the face of the earth, that same Jesus that he had utterly despised, after he received the revelation that Jesus was the Lord of heaven and earth, Paul's life turned 180 degrees and he began to proclaim Jesus as the Savior of the world. He did it vigorously. He did it passionately. He did it relentlessly. And one day after seeing Jesus for who he is, he traveled to Athens. And the scriptures tell us that he was distressed to see that the city was full of idols. And it tells us in Acts 17, verses 22 through 23, that Paul stood up in a meeting of the Areopagus, which was a legal forum and a gathering of the intelligentsia at that time. And he said to them, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. In other words, the men of Athens, with all their great knowledge and all of their great philosophies, they didn't know who he was. And what about us? What about me? What about Pastor Dan Beatty? Reverend J.P. Wilson preached every Sunday when I was growing up. But I didn't know who he was. The choir sang. I even joined them in singing, throwing my head back, singing loud. But I didn't know who he was. Sunday school teachers taught. Miss Ivy did her best. We called her Poison Ivy. She did her best. And I sat patiently, but I didn't know what she was talking about. I didn't know who he was. Billy Graham came on television. The Crusades, taking up time from the sports that I wanted to see. The following program will now interrupt the sports broadcasting or whatever they see it. Billy Graham preached on television, and I listened sometimes, but I still didn't know who he was. Street evangelists passed out tracts and preached, and I passed them. I heard what they said, but I didn't know who he was. The man with the multicolored afro that you see in all the sports, you used to see in all the sports arenas and all the sports events, the biggest events, the man with the multicolored afro holding up the sign, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I saw it. I saw it at all the major sports events, but I still didn't know who he was. Christians came to my dorm room when I was a freshman at Michigan State, sat down with me and went over the gospel with me and left thinking that I knew who he was because I had all the right answers, because I'd heard all the right answers, but I still didn't know who he was. But I, like so many others, walked around with a partial knowledge, inklings, crumbs, trappings, disconnected, disjointed ideas about him. But I didn't know who he was. But the old song also tells us why we didn't know who he was. It says, our eyes were blind. We could not see. It wasn't that we did not see. We could not see. Our eyes were blind. And the scriptures agree. Bible study this past week, we looked at 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 18. And verse 4 says, the God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And when we looked at that verse, I asked the question, can you give me an example of how you have seen this verse to be true? And I don't remember who the sister was, but somebody piped up and said, I'm an example. I was in that spot. I had heard a lot, and I was blinded. And we all agreed, the God of this age has blinded us all. Today, there are demonic forces all over the world blinding the minds of people so they cannot see who Jesus is. The scripture says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is against the spiritual forces in the heavenly. So we must be merciful and we must be prayerful, because it was only God's mercy and somebody's prayers. I know it was somebody's prayers for Dan Beatty that led to the opening of my eyes. I loved Lynn's reading. Thank you, Lynn, for that glorious reading. You are something else. You know what I say, the rewards of a job well done are more jobs to do well. So this will not be the last time we hear your sweet voice. But I love what she was saying about the angels. You know, angels are messengers. They don't improvise. They say what they've been told to say. They don't editorialize. They don't interpret. They just deliver the message as dictated. They don't say, what I think God meant was this. They just deliver what they were told to say, and they say it. So when the angel announced that Jesus' birth was good news of great joy that will be for all people, he wasn't making that up. He wasn't interpreting. He was taking God's message as it had been given to him, and he was delivering it verbatim as he received it. So what that tells us is that he was sharing God's perspective of the birth of his son. God saw it as good news, great joy for all people, for all people. So what happened? Obviously, something was lost in the translation. Because 33 years later, the good news and the great joy was crucified by the very people he came to bless. And still today, instead of being received as God intended, great news for all people, Jesus is controversial. How did that happen? How did God send the angels with a message that said, this is good news, great joy, all people, and now here we are where Jesus is controversial? This is directly attributable to the schemes of Satan, who is a deceiver and a master of confusion and disinformation. And the world has been infested by his lies and misrepresentations of who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do. Good news, great joy, all people. That's what Jesus was about. But even though the old song ends with a mournful, we didn't know who you were, that's not where God's plan ended. It's where the song ends. We didn't know who you were. But that's not where God's plan ended. Because the same passage that speaks about the blindness created by the evil one speaks also of divine light from the God of all creation. Grace conquered darkness. Grace conquered confusion. Grace broke through misrepresentation. Grace foiled Satan's plans. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts. So we say, "Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to me." That's what happened. God spoke light into our beings. He spoke into you, Edgar. He spoke into the darkness of Edgar's life, and he said, "Let light shine in Edgar." And he said the same thing about Flamina. "Let light, let there be light in Flamina. Let there be light in Hank. Let there be light in Janelle. Let there be light in the Dorseys back there. Let there be light in Grace." That's how it happened. Just as he spoke, just as he stepped out into the nothingness of space and spoke and said, "Let there be light." That's how we came to know him for who he is. He spoke light. That's when the darkness was dispelled. That's when the confusion cleared up. That's when my sister Pat said, "Oh, now I see." Oh, now I see. And she wasn't talking about physical sight. Her sight was 20/20. But she saw something she didn't see before. She understood something that she hadn't understood before. God revealed the one we could not see. That's what happened. He revealed the one we could not see and we could not know. And then we were able to hear the heart of the message that the angels proclaimed that night. Then we were able to hear good news, great joy, all people. And then Jesus changed. He was no longer this obscure figure out there. He was no longer the person trying to rob me of life. He was the one giving me life. All of a sudden, all the lies were dispelled and we could see him for who he is. One glorious day, the scales fell off my eyes. One day, I felt the warmth of new life filling my dead spirit. One day, the darkness was swallowed up by light. And I saw a new world that I didn't even know was there. For all of us who know Jesus, we came in different ways. We came in different ways to the one who made himself known to each of us uniquely. We were talking about that at Bible study. How did it happen for you? And there was no one size fits all. There was no one age where it all happened. There was no one stage where it all happened. But it happened because Jesus spoke light into the darkness of our confusion and blindness. Oh, hallelujah. And so we all sing a new song. Come, let us adore him. We sing Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And we can say, thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes. For opening our eyes to the miracle of new life in you. To the marvels of eternal life. To your person. We say glory to God because we do know who he is. And he's graciously, day by day, revealing more of himself to us. This morning in my journal I wrote, well, today I do know who you are. Thank you, Jesus. I do know who you are. I do. I know. I know. Thank you. I do know who you are, but I'm also getting to know who you are. I do know who you are, but I'm also getting to know you are every single day, through every single event, through every single episode, through every single emotion, and every encounter with others, through everything that life offers me, and everything that life tries to take from me. Everything that happens on this planet to Dan Beatty is escorting me into a greater knowledge of you. So I know you, but I'm glad that I'm getting to know you. Thank you, Jesus. That's how it is. That's how it's been. What a journey it's been. What a journey it's been. What a journey it is. When my eyes pop open in the morning, what a journey it is. And what a journey it will be. We know him even as we're getting to know him better. It's like different arrangements of a familiar song. The theme is Jesus. But boy, there's a multitude of varieties, an infinite variety of arrangements. It's not monotonous. It's fresh, full of life. Same theme, infinite variety. Come, let us adore him. Somebody says it that way. Somebody else says amazing grace. Somebody else says, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. But whatever it is, it's the same theme, but a different variation and arrangement. And it will be that way forever because the scripture says salvation. When our eyes were first opened, it says salvation is just the introduction. That's what it says in Romans 5:2. It's just the introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Wherever we are, it's just the introduction because it's infinite. What we have to look forward to is an ever deepening knowledge of him that brings with it the unsearchable riches. The unsearchable riches of his wisdom, his power, his love, his grace. That's what comes with knowing him. Because all of that is in him. And all of that is from him. And that is our destiny, brothers and sisters. We didn't know who you were, Lord. We know who you are now. We thank you for shedding the light so our eyes could see. And we thank you that every single day of our lives, we're getting to know you even better. Amen.